Well, you finally got to hear my bass voice. Amen. That was about as bass as it gets. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Praise the Lord for His salvation and for the opportunity to open up His book. Amen. And so if you will, let's open up His book tonight to Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. And last week was pretty brutal. I felt like last week it was a tough one. But talking about the pastor and his people and talking about our responsibility as the people of God to honor our pastor, to respect our pastor, to pray for our pastor. And I think it's a needful thing. And I was asked earlier, is there somebody mad at preacher why we need this, these messages? And I said, Lord, no. Sometimes you take your vehicle to the garage either two ways. You either take it to have maintenance done, pre-maintenance done, or you take it there with a tow truck. And we're not using the tow truck. These are not tow truck messages. We're doing preventative maintenance. And I tell you, we got a great church. I know this is the choir I'm preaching to. But I want us to be reminded. I want me to be reminded of my responsibility as a church member, as a Christian to my pastor. And I want to give us some biblical views of this. And I think it's very important in today's society. I was telling Pastor, I said, the Lord really laid these on my heart whenever He asked me to preach a series. And we're talking about our theme this year is stand firm in the faith. And sometimes we forget that our pastor needs to stand firm in the faith. And if we're not standing firm with him and helping him, then it's going to be very hard for him to stand firm in the faith. And I think our church does a great job. I promise you, I'm not preaching this because a pastor said, look, let me give you some names of people that have been mean to me. He did not do that. A pastor did not say, here's the problems in our church and you need to take care. You know, Lord, no, that's not it. We're doing this as just a reminder. And I think it'll be a help to us. I think it'll be encouragement to our pastor. But tonight, I'll be a little bit lighter on you after I get through finishing last week's message that I never got finished with. So we were talking about three groups of people that members fall into. Three groups of people. And last week, we talked about the first one being the helpful. There's always helpful people in the church. Thank God for those people. And I thank God that our church is filled with helpful people. I'll be honest with you, the two churches I pastored over the years, I did most everything. My wife did most everything. And when I came here, I realized there was a lot of help. And I have a problem with letting things go sometimes. And I have a bad problem with delegating because I never had nobody to delegate to. And so I love this church because I can say, hey, we got some men and we got some ladies, we got some teenagers, we got some kids that we can get involved in the work together. And that's the title of the message tonight is Together. That's why we're here, right? Is to come together. So last week we dealt with the first types of members are the helpful type. Thank God for those. They build, they battle, and they bear burdens. But I want you to notice, if you will, in Nehemiah chapter 5. Matter of fact, Nehemiah chapter 3. Let's start there. We'll end up in Nehemiah chapter 5 here in a minute. But go to Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, Nehemiah is preceding Ezra. And Ezra built the temple, him and the people. Now Nehemiah comes and he has a great burden. And we know that he came to the king and he begged that he could go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And of course he was granted that. And we understand that they built the building, the walls, in how many days? 52 days. That's amazing. That's almost how quick this church was built. Amen? It seemed like 52 days, didn't it? This building here erected so quick. It was amazing. But I want you to notice, if you will, in chapter 3, in verse 5, that there's a second group of people that we find sometimes in the house of God. Now, it says, and next unto them, talking about all those that build and repaired walls, it said the Tekoites repaired. But I want you to notice this. It says, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. There's got to be the helpful, and then sometimes there's just the helpless. Amen. They're in every church. They're not just in this one. They're in every building. They're at every job site. Amen. They're in the truck. You know, I shouldn't tell this, but I tell this on my father-in-law. My father-in-law is a foreman. And I tell him all the time, I say, you know how you can tell a foreman, right? He's got a sunburn on this arm and carpal tunnel on this arm. And I'll explain why. He's got this arm in the windowsill and this hand on the air conditioning and radio control. Amen. And I pick with him all the time. He's worked 40-something years with the electric company. He can do that now. But I want to say that there was the nobles that everybody else was doing the work in, and they were busy, and they were putting their strength into the work and their heart into the work. But there was the nobles that just sat by and didn't do anything. And can I say that the helpless in a lot of churches are the spectators. By the way, they're not here tonight. Amen. They're not the wisdom in our crowd. But can I say this? Is that those are the ones that we ought to pray that God will put a fire in their heart. And can I tell you this also? That nobody is helpless unless they want to be helpless. And if we as the children of God and we as the members of Heritage Baptist Church, our job is to pray for them and to encourage them to get involved in the greatest work there ever was and ever will be. And it's the work of the Lord. I wouldn't trade it for anything. If President Obama came here tonight and said, I'll give you the presidency if you'll quit preaching, I'd say, no, sir, get back on your plane, go back to Washington, D.C. I'm better off than you are. Amen. This is a great work, my friends. Even Nehemiah said, I can't come down off this wall. Why? Because this is a great work. And my friends, I think if we show that it's a great work and that it's an encouraging work, it's an exciting work, they'll want to get involved in it. And we always say that we pray for people, but really, pick somebody out that you notice is not involved in the work. And pray for them that God will put a fire in their heart. But we also see in the Word of God, and we see this, and this is the one that hurts. Go back to Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5, and we'll get there in just a moment. But end up reading all these scriptures here in just a moment. But I want to deal with the last one. It's the hinderers. By the way, there's a lot of hinders in the work of God. By the way, the devil's number one. And when Sanballat and Tobiah came to Nehemiah and they tried to hinder the work, the Bible says here in Nehemiah, it says they wanted to hinder the work of God. My friends, there's a lot of people wanting to hinder the work of Heritage Baptist Church. You know why? Because God's blessing. And anytime God begins to bless, the hinderers come. We need to be careful that we don't become a hinderer to the work of God. And I thank God that we have people that are encouragers and that are people that bear burdens and people that pray and people that are excited about the work of God. I thank God for those type people. But there's always going to be those hinderers. And I'll just go on tonight, but in Nehemiah chapter 5, I want to read there. I'll begin in chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says this, 5:17 says, moreover, now I like the Word of God, don't you? I love the Word of God, the way that the Bible puts things. And we see that here in Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 17, I want you to notice that they begin, I'm in the wrong, go to chapter 4 verse 17. Chapter 4 verse 17. I was reading that, I was like, that ain't right. We'll probably end up there. But in chapter 4, verse 17, it's even better. It says, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laden, which mean work, labored, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so built. Now notice where their sword was. It was by their side. By the way, we've got a sword too. We got a sword that we can use. And by the way, you ought to keep it by your side. And notice, if you will, the rest of that verse. It says, and they girded by his side and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. For just a moment tonight, I'll preach on this subject together. Father, we thank you. We love you. Lord, I certainly need your power tonight, your presence. And Father, I just want to encourage people tonight. And Father, I hope we see what a great work we're involved in tonight. But Lord, it's also a work that's so important. Lord, that we'd not, God, take it lightly. Lord, that we would get serious about your work and about, Lord, what we're doing. And Father, I just pray, God, you give us a burden tonight as you gave Nehemiah a burden. God, that we see, God, the walls breaking down around us. And Lord, that God, we just hold the fort. Lord, we know you're coming. Lord, help us now. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'll give you three things tonight very quickly about this together. And we just read some of this, and I'll give you some more verses. But number one, I want you to think about this. For a church to operate the way it should, everybody has to do their part. Everybody has to be working together, just like if you ever have an engine and one cylinder wants to do something different than the other ones, it doesn't run too well. And I believe as a church, we've got to come together for the purpose of serving an almighty God and serving our Savior Jesus Christ and coming together and seeing that this work is a great work. But it's also a very important work. Number one, I want us to notice that as we see Nehemiah here, and if we could picture Nehemiah and the people. By the way, Nehemiah was not a preacher. Nehemiah was a layman. Ezra was more of the preacher. Nehemiah was just a layman that got people excited about a work. Amen. He first got a burden. Then he went on his knees to God. Then he went to the king. Amen. That's two and the same. Go to the king. Amen. And get his permission to do the work. He's already gave us permission to do the work. We just got to get involved in it. And Nehemiah got the people excited. He said, let us rise up and build the wall. Yeah. Nehemiah said, now listen, I've got some plans drawn up. And I'm going to do this work for my God. Nehemiah didn't say that. Nehemiah said, let us strengthen our hands. Let us rise up. Let us. Why? Because it's a team effort. Building a church for the glory of God is a team effort, and we all must work together. Number one, that was number one, work together. Work together. They work together. If we see here in Nehemiah, if you look at chapter 4 again at verse 6, it says, so built we the walls. I like that, amen. So built we the wall. If you ever come to this church and you see that the Sunday school's growing and you say, boy, Brother Wiggins is building that Sunday school, you've been fooled. Amen. If you come to this church and you say, boy, Brother Crawford has built the great work and has it. You've been fooled. And Pastor would never take credit for that. And you came to Brother Clark's class and said, boy, he's built the victory class up. You've been fooled again. If you say, boy, because of Brother Jack's elegance on Sunday night telling us about our missionaries, our missionary program has went. Hey, listen, you've been fooled again. If we're going to give praise, we got to give praise where praise is due. And that's to God who gives us the power to do what we do. And I tell you, I all the time people say, well, boy, so-and-so's built a great work down there. And I'm like, no. God's used them to do a great work. Amen. Nehemiah was not a great man per se. He was a cupbearer. He was just a lowly man that was going to take the poison for the king. And God used him. And by the way, God can use you. We got to work together. Notice in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 again. I'll keep reading. It says, So built we the wall, and all the walls were joined together unto the half thereof. Now notice this. For the people had a mind to work. I don't know about you, but whenever I used to work for the power company, there was a lot of times I didn't have a mind to work. Now is anybody, I know, well, there's nobody here like me, so I'll just say me. I'd wake up. And I had to be at work at 7. I worked 7 to 4. And I'd wake up about 6 o'clock. And guess what? I didn't go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I'd look in the mirror and go, woo-hoo. I went, snooze. Why? You know what happened to me? Is that I'd get to work. And I'd get there and I'd be like, all right, where are we going today? You know why? Because I didn't have a mind to work. But you know what's great? Is that when you wake up on Sunday morning, and you get on your knees and say, God, please be with our services today. It ain't got to be an elaborate prayer, by the way. I'm glad our God's not a God that judges us by the length of prayer. Aren't you? That's what the Pharisees were trying to do. They were trying to stand out in the middle of the city out there saying, now everybody stand back. Watch the glory. Watch this. You know, you ever see them guys? Everybody stand back. All right, here we go. Our Father. And everybody's just going, wow. And God's going, yeah. Amen. He said, I'd rather spew you out of my mouth. But I believe God hears when we pray, when we wake up in the morning and we pray on Sunday and we say, God be with our services today. We come to church excited. Why? Because we're waiting to see who's going to walk in them back doors. And then during the service, we're like, oh, I can't wait till the invitation instead of doing this. We're saying, I can't wait to get an invitation because I invited so-and-so and they're here and I know they're lost. And I'm so excited because they may come down and get right today. Whew. Now, I was so excited last Sunday somebody I invited came to church. That is rare sometimes. Man, the whole time during the invitation, my eyes were going. I was waiting. I was excited. I run to tell pastor, I said, hey, somebody I gave a tract to came to church. Not bragging, I'm just bragging on God. We got to work together. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18 says, then I told them of the hand of God which was upon me, as also the king's words he had spoken unto me. And he said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Wow. And then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Notice that. We are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry and you're God's building. We are laborers together with God. It's a partnership. I like that, amen. I like that I can work with Brother Clark and I work with Brother Jack and we work together with God. Boy, that's good. But what's bad is that when people are not working together. You know, I'll tell you this. This is kind of funny. My kids don't like each other. Brody and Shelby don't get along at all. So my wife can tell you, one day I said, all right, I'm tired of y'all's fussing. Every time y'all look at each other, it's rah, 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 rah. So you know what I made them do? Teamwork. I don't forget what all I did to them that day. I think I tied them together or something like that, and I made them do everything together. They were so mad at me. But you know what? They found out very quickly, unless both of them cooperated, that nothing was going to be done. Amen. And man, that gave me a good illustration of how church is, unless we're all working together for the cause of Christ. Whew. I wish y'all could have saw that. It was so funny. There was a lot of huffing going on. If there would have been a house around there, they would have huffed and puffed and blew it down. It was so funny. But you know what? They learned very quickly to work together. I remember when I first came to work with Pastor back in the old days. Back in the skinny days, you go by weight, you know, once you get older. You know, back whenever I was 140 pounds, you know, that's the way we do things, not in date time. And I remember as pastor, I came and it was so funny because pastor was from Texas. I was from Alabama, Florida side of the world. I was different. I was different. Amen. Just leave it at that. And, well, you know, I had different things that I've been through, and he had been different things. But you know what? I figured out very quickly, unless we work together and I work with him, that we're not going to accomplish anything for the glory of God. I'll give you an instance. I was a youth pastor there at the church with Pastor, and Pastor was at church one night. I can't remember if was having an all-night or something, but me and the boys, I had some pretty good-sized boys. I had a lot of gang members in our church, and so I got with them. Y'all remember those guys? And I had a lot of church kids too. But I remember I got with the kids one night. I said, all right, look, this is back when Pastor was in good shape. I was too. And that was, I didn't mean that in a bad way. You're still in good shape. But I remember getting with the guys. I said, all right, look, we're going to get him. Because Pastor was always wrestling with everybody he ever saw. Y'all know that, right? And so we got together with about five other boys. I said, all right, look, I'm going to come up behind him. I'm going to grab him. Y'all grab. Let's all get on him. We got him. I was like, yes, we're going to work together. Well, guess what? The only one that got it was me. So Pastor, I come up behind Pastor. I grabbed him. And next thing I know, he was on the floor. I was over here. I don't know. It hurt my back. He bit me like that backwards. And I looked around, Brother Kirby, and guess what? There was no kids to be found. You know, I realized then, if you don't work together, you can get hurt. Amen. So we must work together. And how in the world do you think that they built the walls in 52 days? It wasn't because somebody was doing this over here and they were doing their... It was because they were working together. Number two, I give you this one. They were warring together. They were warring together. Nehemiah 4:16 says, and it came to pass, and I read this earlier, it says, and it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them, both with spears and shields and the bows. Now notice this, that half of them wrought in the work and half of them fought. Yep. By the way, can I say this, is that a lot of times the biggest battle we'll face is us. I believe Paul said, I have a warring in my memory. Whew. Paul said, you know what? And by the way, I love that Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against each other. We're not warring against each other, but what? Against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness and of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul also told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I know there's a sect of world out there that says, well, we shouldn't be battling. Well, why in the world did God give us armor? And why in the world did God give us a sword, a two-edged sword? Not to fight each other, but to fight the enemy. The enemy, the devil, wants you, and he wants to destroy the work of God. And by the way, we must war against our flesh. Sometimes in life, we give the devil too much credit. Amen? When really we war against each other. And against ourselves, it's where the war should be fought. Nehemiah 4:21 says, so we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Wow. They said, you know what? We're going to do our part. Y'all do your part. And this work will be accomplished. My friends, can I tell you that I wish being a Christian, you didn't have to war anymore. But let's also be reminded that when the children of Israel entered into the land of rest or into the land of Canaan, the first thing they did was have to face Jericho. They had to face the Canaanites. They had to face all the Ai brothers. The Christian life is filled with fighting the enemy. And may we spend our efforts fighting the true enemy. The enemy is the devil and our flesh, and fighting that instead of fighting each other. Boy, what a help it would be if we'd war with our pastor. And say, you know what? I'm going to guard myself so I don't let evil come in with me. You ever heard this the statement, the devil comes to church and he has to ride with somebody? And then let me give you another illustration of that. Have you ever had a Sunday morning where everything went wrong? Just about every Sunday morning. Kids are, you know, I mean, it's something with the kids, something with the car, something with this, something with your clothing, something here. I mean, it's just something with the ride here, something there, something there. You know what? That's the old devil trying to just get you a little mad. Let us war against that. So when we come to church, and can I say that the enemy wishes to destroy the work of Christ? He can't take away our salvation. But he sure can take away our joy and our encouragement. And he can take away our happiness and all these things. Let us war against the devil. Let us war against him. Let us hold our ground. Stand firm in the faith. Let me give you the last thing tonight. They worship together. I wrote this down, and Pastor says this every Sunday morning. This is what he says. I quote him. We are come together to worship the Lord. Every Sunday morning he says that. Notice what he says. We have come together. To worship the Lord. Every Sunday morning he says that. Right after we see stand firm in the faith, Pastor gets up here, hey, I want to remind you that we've come here together to worship the Lord. You know why we must be reminded of that? Because Pastor says this, we got to leave everything outside that church door. And when we come in here, let's get focused on Him. Let's worship together. By the way, I believe this. I believe revival is going to break out in the multitude or in a crowd that has their focus on Jesus Christ. And that's ready to worship Him. I don't have time to give you all these verses, but I certainly want you to go read Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. They finished the walls 52 days. They come and Ezra comes and he opens the law. He opens the book, the Bible says. I like that. Stood on a pulpit of wood, had a pulpit. He stood upon it and he began to read the Word of God. And by the way, he didn't read just a couple verses. He read a long time. And the Bible says the people begin to say amen. Well, what's amazing is that if you go to chapter 9, you see the people repenting and getting right. Woo! Amen! You know what? We got to come together and worship together. And when I heard this illustration, it was Brother Wido that gave this illustration. Of course, you know, if you don't know Brother Wido, he's a milk cow man. You know, he gives the milk muscle guy. And he said this. He said, you know, the Bible says we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word. He said, you know what? Every time pastor comes up here, we ought to just be going, nah. Just ready for some milk, amen? He says, I've never walked out with that bottle in my hand. And he said he used to have his cows on a bus. That was his pen for his little calves. He said every time he'd get close to that thing, they'd see that milk and they'd go, bling. Now don't do that, okay? Sunday morning, pastor, freak out. My soul, when pastor opens up this word, boy, we're ready to worship our Lord and Savior. What a word. Revival broke out because the people in unity worked and they warred together. By the way, the people that I love the most in the ministry are the people I warred with over the years. And by the way, it's the same with pastor. I'm sure he could say tonight, some of you stood by in times of hard trials, times of testing. And Brother Banny, you probably say the same with this cancer. You need people standing beside you and holding you up and warring against this evil. Amen. Cancer. Hate it. Be glad when the day comes when there's no more cancer. Amen. Worship together. The only reason that revival was able to come and the reason Ezra was able to stand and read the Word of God was that the people had come together to do the work of God. What if they had not chosen to work together, not war, and not follow the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra? Guess what, my friends? There had been no revival. There had been no repenting. There may have never been no returning from bondage. Tonight, may we come and may we work together. There's going to be times we're going to have to war together. There's going to be times there's going to be some tears in our eyes. When we see people that are being attacked by the devil and allowing their flesh to win the war in their life, we're going to have to band together, not in judgmental minds, not in judgmental voices, but in prayerful minds and prayerful voices and praying and uplifting somebody and saying, hey, this is our work together. For Jesus Christ. And may we worship together. What may we come on and I was saying this is that Monday through Saturday we work, we worship, we war, we witness. Sunday we come and revival breaks out. Go to Ezra, if you will, real quick. Hold your place in Nehemiah. We'll come back there. I'm almost done. I just want to give you an instance. But in Ezra chapter 2, verse 64. I want you to notice this. This is amazing to me. Ezra chapter 2, verse 64, it says, the whole congregation together was 42,303. Verse 65 says, besides their servants and their maids, of whom there were 7,337, and there were among them, notice this, 200 singing men and singing women. You notice the numbers there? Notice that. Notice the number again, verse 64. There's the whole congregation together was 42,303. Then you see that there was 200 singing men and singing women. Now go over to Nehemiah chapter 7. Now this is after Ezra's done building the temple. And years pass by. Nehemiah builds the walls. The walls are finished. I want you to notice what happens in Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 66. Now, you would almost think here that Nehemiah is just repeating what Ezra said, but I don't believe that. I believe Nehemiah is doing a new count. I believe Nehemiah is reevaluating the people. Now, by the way, it's good when you read this, to remember what we just read. Now notice this, verse 66 says, the whole congregation together was 42,300. You say, what's the big deal? There was the same amount of people there when Ezra started as there was when Nehemiah. No, the enemy didn't get anybody. You ever thought about that? The Sanballat and Tobiah were there as enemies and they didn't get one convert. But I like this, being the choir director. I like this one. They gained a little bit in the choir section because some people got excited about the work of God. Now notice this, if you will. I like this. Verse 67 says, besides their manservant and their maidservants, of whom there was 7,337, that's the same, and they had 200... I like this. And had 245 singing men and singing women. They gained 45 people in the choir. Why? Because they got excited about the work. Amen. If we get excited and come and work together and war together and worship together, we're going to have more people in the choir. You say, wait a minute. This choir, I'm talking, what do we always say the Wednesday night crowd is? Preaching to the who? The choir, that's the core people. But if we take this literally, they were singing, so I know that was a choir. I'd love to have 245 people in my choir. Woo, I wouldn't even have to do anything. Just go. Wouldn't that be great? I'd have to get Brother Larry on one side, Brother Tim in the middle, and me over here, and we'd just go to town on it. Amen? May we come together and work together. We're going to have to war together. There's going to be times we're going to have to fight the old flesh, amen? There's going to be times we're going to have to fight the enemy out there. By the way, the world's not going pro-church and pro-Christ. They're going the other way. But let us come and let's worship together. Boy, on Sunday morning we ought to be, I can't wait. Boy, I wish y'all could just look inside of me whenever somebody says, hey, you want to preach? And then I have to sit up here for about 20, 25 minutes and think about it. I'm like an engine on the tracks just spinning his wheels, ready. Because I'm excited. I love the Word of God. I love to hear preaching. I love to come to church. You know why? Because I like being with you folks. I love coming because I know we got a great leader. I love it because I know that whenever I come here that God said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. In other words, he says, where there's cooperation, I'll be there. And that's what we need tonight. And folks, can I say our church is running good, but we can always polish the wheels a little bit, can't we? May we come together, work together, war together, worship together, and get more people in the choir. Let's stand tonight.